One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
It is.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw, Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Brooklyn. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And
we gotta start locking that door.
Yeah, we left the door open and Elvis Sensei just walked through the door.
As he should.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Juan Epp is Life, episode number 2 from the new Juan Epp Studios.
You're numbering episodes now?
I'm not gonna like label the episode 2, episode 3.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I'm just saying it is our second episode. Yeah. And this is cool because A, huge fan of Artifacts and Elda Sensei. And of course, we spent a lot of time talking about the passing of Tame One, mm-hmm. and didn't want to bother El at the time. But now a little bit of time has passed. So I reached out to say, hey, could you come bless the studios? And he made the trip across the river from New Jersey.
Yeah, the Artifacts are from New Jersey.
That's right. Have a seat, El. Make yourself comfortable. The man
what
came.
What is this? The gifts? Yes. Wow.
Grab that mic, L. That's yours.
Wow. Got
everything in order.
Okay.
Yo.
Artifacts and Buck Wild, no expiration date,
yeah,
CD.
That's a new album. New album. Buck
new
Wild,
album.
Artifacts, no expiration date.
On CD.
Yes, sir. And it's on vinyl and it's on digital.
Sight. Here's what the beautiful tee. Right. I'm a little tight though, L. I gotta find where can I get the hat though. I'll buy it.
I got some hats.
You got hats too? Pull it up nice. Pull that mic nice and close.
I got some hats. I gotta get some more snapbacks, but I was rushing.
So no, please.
What I could bring.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, Elda Sensei's on Juan Epp is Life. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Here's what's eerie. Is as I open up this CD, there's a rest in peace to a DJ Chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're Chaos, yeah. The Artifacts DJ.
But me, which means they had this artwork before Tame One passed.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Which is crazy that in the new album you don't have Rest in Peace Tame One, so yeah, you're gonna have to do that
on the next one. Whatever the next thing is.
And actually there's a t-shirt, shout out to Snow Goons. They have a t-shirt made called Artifacts Forever. It has a picture of all three of us, but it has a halo over Tame in the t-shirt.
Wow.
You know, and shout out to Ricky out in Paris. France, rather. And she did the artwork, and they asked her to make the updated version with the halo over him.
Wow.
So it's crazy how this all, you know, panned out.
Well, so let's start the conversation. Like, how are you doing? Like, how surprising was this whole thing? Like, we didn't...
Yeah, it was definitely a shock. Just knowing he was at my crib, like, maybe, like, not even a month before that happened.
Mm.
And he came to the crib, and he was like, yo, play the record. I just want to hear it, like, you know, loud, because he got all the versions of the record, and he pretty much was like, you know, I need to listen to it in full.
Oh, this is the Buck Wild project that
Yes, because we it took
right
a minute
here.
To put it all together. Shout out to Smoke On Records out in Germany. My man Joey, shout out to Buck for doing the production. Shout out my man Jake Palumbo, who mixed it, and I always mistake my man's name in Germany.
There's a lot of European names to remember.
Yeah, he mastered the record, but shout out to him as well. Yeah, man, we took us not long to make the record, but just to get the whole process together. The pressing of the record, the factory burned down in Germany. We had to go to another factory in Amsterdam to press the record. So that was like a whole new starting of a new relationship. So that took 9 months.
Well, and wait, and real quick, when was the last time you and Tame had done a record together?
Man, okay, we've been making records for
the whole time?
Minute, yeah. From like a lot of the, so we have a single I had did on Cold Mind Records. Shout out to Matt Diamond.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Diamond.
They have Rod Digger on the remix as well. So this was called Every Day in the Street. When me and Tame got back together in 2008, we just been working. We've been on tour constantly, doing a lot of features.
Where are the most bags coming from Artifacts? Europe?
Pretty much a good mixture, you know what I'm saying? Because we was able to tour all the time, even with just two albums out. We was touring. That's how we stayed alive, pretty much. A lot of that was in Europe every year. You know, we pretty much, and until COVID happened, we was always over there. We had just did a tour in 2019. Mr. Lin from Company Flow, he was with us. And, yeah, even for myself, you know, I'm always over there.
I want to go to one of those tours in Europe where it has all our favorite groups.
A lot of that happens mostly in the festival. So, you have, like, Hip Hop Camp in Czech Republic. They have a big festival every year. You got Alpha Fame Festival, Royal Arena, and Switzerland. So, you know, France got the Rennes Festival. So it's
All considered what we might call underground?
Yes.
Or is there also another stage where all the big pop acts?
Not at these festivals. Hip Hop Camp is pretty much you have the main stage, and you have hangars. Is an old Air Force base.
Yeah.
Two hangars and then the main stage, but then there's smaller stages too. So, but everybody, you have mainstream hip-hop acts there.
Right.
So like us, like, well, you have Smith & Wesson.
You're considered the mainstream in this festival.
Yeah.
You're the big one.
So who would be the headliner for a show like that?
Okay, they had, this one year, they had Hops in there.
Okay.
Evidence was there. So these are like on, I think this was maybe in Switzerland, but like, okay, so
Yeah,
we was there in 2016, the main act, EPMD, P-Rock and CL Smooth.
Right, okay. Right.
Redman. Say like a Method Man be a headliner.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
So it'll be bigger acts, but then it'll be smaller other tiers of.
Yeah.
So it'll be Up Me, Planet Asia, J Live. It'll be all of these.
Right,
It'll be all of the groups like that.
Yeah.
It won't be nothing you see on the radio.
There's no Ja Rule or.
Nah.
It's like hit, like.
They have no festivals disrespect for those. Yeah, they have festivals for those.
So that's a separate festival.
That's totally separate.
So was Tame sick?
Nah, man. I would say. If anything, I didn't know of a lot of things, if that was the case. But I think with him, maybe of these things I didn't know, contributed to his passing.
Got it. But as far as you knew, he was okay.
Yeah, he was all right, as far as I know.
So you had to deal with just the shock of this news.
Yeah, because, I mean, his mom's called me, and it was just like, wow. What do you say? What do you do?
I mean, what can you do,
You get
man?
The phone call, and then you hang up, and it's just like, I mean, I would say it's like an empty space a little bit because you're trying to figure out how to react to it. Of course, you're going to cry. But then it's like, for me, it was like almost like a Bruce Lee element to it because you don't know. And then I didn't want to know because he really didn't matter because he was gone. For me, everything in that CD you just had and held up was what really got me through all of this. You know, you have to deal with the fact that you know, all his friends, all my friends, is all the same.
Yeah.
So no matter how our history was, we still have the same friends and more friends when you talk about fans and online people we've dealt with, whether it be promoters, whether it be DJs that played our music, everybody's involved. So we all had the same reaction, I would say, you know, from and whether if I'm in the group with him or not, it was the same even when Chaos passed, you know, and he stayed with me.
What year did Chaos pass?
Chaos passed in 2019.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, so it's right, kind of not back to back, but.
But close.
Yeah.
My story, not that I have a story, but my story with Elda Sensei, when I first met you, was in the in-between years.
Right.
Because like my college radio years were in those years when Artifacts, it was post That's Them, and you started sort of your indie journey.
Right.
Of Elda Sensei, solo artist. And
part of my ignorance, did y'all break up? Big breakup?
Not a big breakup, but it was enough where it really like was a shockwave and within the industry where it's like, you know, we didn't come from independent world. We came from Atlantic Records.
Right.
Big Beat, Atlantic Records, two albums, a couple of videos, and accessible music for everybody to get to where it was so much, you know, the independent part didn't come till later, but it was still there. You know, and so much so that me and Tame was able to make a record with Juju and VIC from Beat Nuts. Mm-hmm. A song called Brick City Kids.
Well, hold on. We're getting out of order.
I'm about to give you a gem. I'm about to give you a gem.
All right. Oh, we love 1F gems. Because I just found on Soulseek the Brick City Kids record, which was on Black Gold.
And that Black Gold.
It was an indie. It was an indie label, and you saw the record. You're like, this is an Artifacts record, but it was called Brick City Kids, not Artifact. Okay, sorry.
And the first label that put that record out, actually, the first record they ever put out was that record was Ruckus. When you look,
Ruckus.
Big razor blade on it.
Yeah,
so that was the first record that they put out, and we were still on Atlantic.
You were still on Atlantic.
I remember
that's why we
had
to call it Brick City Kids.
Brick City Kids,
But it was Jared and Brian. They did the record.
That's their first record.
Their first record.
You ask Juju right now. I'll call him.
I forgot that it has the razor blade on it.
It's crazy how history go. You know what I'm saying? Like
it was basically illegal to make that album if you were still signed.
Well, it was just a single.
It had two songs on the B side. What produced by VIC and him and Juju did the A-side, Brick City Kids, and that was unheard of. You know, I remember the day we recorded that song. Busta was driving down the street. This was like Platinum Island. We was recording the second album, That's Them. And we was outside meeting them to talk about the whole deal and what we was going to do.
Ghetto Gold. I said Black Gold. It's Ghetto Gold.
Yes.
Busta, remember that?
Busta saw us making the deal when that happened. He's like, what y'all doing? He's like, oh, come here. I'm gonna give me some butt.
Yeah, that was crazy. So that was right before the breakup?
Nah, we were still together.
And for how much longer?
And I would say that probably came out when the album came out, too.
Wop.
Put that right in Juju crib.
Oh, there's the Ruckus logo at the bottom.
Hey, world, premiere. Hey, world, premiere. Oh, world, premiere. In the rhyme we trust, bust, lyrical, action. Ripping like traction, addition, subtracting. Acts who rap through.
Self-censor.
The lively MC on your television with the...
Yo, this was in such heavy rotation at my college radio station.
Underground hip hop.
We love that.
Banging that record a lot.
What is it? It says Ghetto Professionals present.
And that was the name of it. Juju and VIC company at the time.
Because I think what's his name? Mike Haran had something to do with that, right?
Yeah.
Mike Haran, I think, helped put that label together.
Mm-hmm. What's the origin story of you and Tame?
Me and Tame met through mutual friends. My man Jay Byrne, Polo Ice. I went to school with Jay Byrne. Jay Byrne belonged to a crew called Boss Mob.
We're in Newark?
Yeah, Newark. It was like more like our Juice crew in our neighborhood. So he introduced me to Rhino, which was the main producer. He was like the Molly Mall of the crew. Tame, Mellow Max, Rasta Ra, and Jay Byrne was the crew, and they all had songs with Rhino. I started coming through.
This is high school years?
I was about maybe like 18, 17, 18. But I always saw it. I didn't know Tame. But I always saw his name.
He was up around first?
Well.
Was he known first?
Yeah, he was known for graffiti.
Okay.
But I just knew of that name. I didn't ever see him. He was like a ghost. And I was at Rhino's crib, and I saw his name all on the wall. I was like, yo, he be here? He said, yo, he rhymed too. I was like, really? Played the song. I was like, damn, he rhymed just as good as his tag and his pieces was. So when I kept coming over there and never saw him. And one day he came when I was there. He heard some of my songs. I heard his songs, and then we got together. And that first day I met him, we did a song.
Were you writing Elvis Sensei?
I was writing Core One.
Core One.
Back in Jersey.
But, so he was Tame One, you were Core One.
Yeah, but Tame was way more advanced than me and a lot of other people. So in our group, is a line Tame has in one of our songs where he said, I'm the art part. You want facts and rap, talk to L. So I always knew that's what it was. So in any interview, anything like that, I always tell people, Tame was the graffiti part of the group. We both do it, but he was the more official in the group. I would never, no one could take that away from
and,
him.
And he would say that you were the more official MC.
Both of us.
I mean, he was pretty
that,
official.
In that rank, yeah, but.
But he had say, the he had the nod
yeah,
for the
yeah,
art.
Yeah, he definitely was, you know, schooled by the best, you know.
Well, you know, sensei is teacher in some Asian language.
Yes, master teacher, yes.
Yeah. So how did Asian language.
How did you get El the Sensei? How did you go from Core One to El the Sensei?
I got brave enough to start rhyming. Didn't want to think that I could keep sounding like Rakim and Big Daddy Kane, even in talent shows, look like them, dress like them. So I had to find my own identity. And it was always MCL in the beginning. And then I cut hair. On Saturdays, I used to cut people hair in my room.
Wow, I didn't know this.
Play Kung Fu movies while this is happening, or anime movies at the time. So this is like 93, 94. 92, 93. So it was like my man was watching the movie and he heard this dude like, oh, sensei, sensei. He said, look, when you sharpening us up, when you giving us the trim, bro, it's like a sword because it's so sharp. And we hear a dude saying that, he said, yo, sensei probably fit for you. And by the way, you rhyme is all like.
So now you're MCL the sensei.
Exactly.
So then
I took the MCL, took the MC off and just, yeah.
So when he says, I'm down with Tame at MCL, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, that was the early times when we was after like our demos, we started putting that in.
And which, I'm confused, which side of the tracks were you guys from?
We was on the Brick City side of the track. The
wrong side.
Yes.
You got confused. It was called the wrong, side of the tracks.
Definitely not the right side.
Not the right side of the tracks. Okay, got it.
So.
And did they come on with the get down or get down with the come on?
No, it was come on with the get down.
Okay. Did both, that's right, flipped it.
The soul, it was
I was listening to, like sometimes I just go on YouTube and I just play old Stretch and Barbito shows that just be somebody just posts them on YouTube and you guys were up there doing it. Maybe your first interview and like listening back now, Bob, the interviews were like,
Oh my God.
What's up? Where you from? Shout your people out. Okay.
Rhyme.
Yeah, you want to rhyme?
No, I listen.
I'm like, these were our heroes.
But that was also a challenge going up there, too. Because like when we went up there, that's pretty much, you know, how me and Tame got our deal up at Stretch and Barbito show.
Yeah.
Yo, by the way, that is hilarious, though. It's like, there was a documentary.
Yeah.
And it's regarded as like the highest art in hip hop. But if you were to hear the interview styles, it's literally just like, hilarious. Yo, my man. Hilarious. Yo, what's your name? What's your man's name over there?
Yo, shit, like, chill. And then they're like, nah, give me a different beat. And Bob would be like, nah, just use this beat.
Hey, look, that was the rules. You had to go by what Stretch played.
So how'd you guys get the big beat Atlantic situation?
No, how'd you get to Stretch and Bob?
So
Tame called up when Stretch and them used to have phone battles on the air.
He called the station on a Thursday night.
The next week, I called up, and it didn't matter because what he did already got the invitation for us to go up there. So he'd say, oh, look, I got the joint. Let's go up there. We went up there together. For 15 minutes, we rocked off the Zulu War Chant straight.
Just 15
minutes straight, just rhyming.
Over that beat?
And they was looking at us like, okay, we got fun. And because we said we was from Jersey, they really couldn't believe it or fathom that because when you look at Jersey hip-hop, you know, when you look at everybody that's from there, me and Tame sounding like that, pretty much, you know, they didn't understand it because they thought that a lot of people didn't think real hip hop existed in Jersey.
Whether it be
rhyming, I always tell people, look, certain streets where we stand in our city, we can see y'all. We can see that whole landscape right there, the whole skyline.
I hate that. I mean, I'm from New York, and growing up, they were like, nah, Jersey's whack. Jersey's corny. Don't go to Jersey.
Heard that.
And then I went to Jersey, and I was like, oh, I don't know what New York is talking about. It's wild out here.
A lot of people found that out.
They found out the hard way.
Yes.
And it's weird because by the time you guys came along, it's not like there'd been nobody out of Jersey.
Latifah,
right. Naughty,
45 King,
Apache, Lakim Shabazz. Like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people already.
Chill Rob
G. Mm-hmm. So after you did the show, who'd
Trigger
you
Hill Gang?
You're right though.
This
is Jersey product.
So who'd you hear from after you did the show?
Immediately after the show, they took our numbers. So at the time, Bob was working at Def Jam and Stretch. Mm-hmm. Was working at Atlantic, at Big Beat. And Rob Tulo, my man Reef.
Reef
was the A&R there. And once he got to us, they actually Stretch and Bob used to stay together, and my man Nick Quested, he used to stay with them too. He started directing crazy videos after we met him, and we started coming over there. We chilled with them. That's how we met M's. That's how we met Bones. That's how we met John Schechter, Scott Free, Matty C. All these dudes was all in a family, but working at different labels.
Yeah.
So.
How did you get back then? How did you get to the city from Jersey?
Same way I got here today. At the New Jersey Transit train right down there on 34th Street. And that's if you was balling. Because back in the day, you was on the PATH train. That was only like a dollar and some change.
Yeah.
Get on the other trains.
On time, like the PATH train.
It worked. So we was always on that.
But I thought maybe from being from Newark, you might have stole a car. But you know, that's not my business.
I've had my situations of being in things with people I know, but yeah, that was a crazy time.
Yeah, the New Jersey drive.
Even that movie sucked though.
Yeah, I never saw it.
That movie was not a good representation because the mayor was like, "Nah, we not doing that. Y'all not shooting it in my city. Nothing." They shot a lot of that in Brooklyn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when the mayor see MBD say, "Get that off of Avon Street." Is Avon Avenue, and they lumped a lot of those stories of that time together.
Yeah, of course.
Even the part when they shot up the van with the kid to get people inside, it was. I really never even and I boycotted the movie because they didn't let us have a song on the soundtrack.
Well, I was about to say, how did you guys not get
everybody that was on the soundtrack was from New York.
Everybody.
Except
for Outkast.
How y'all gonna do that, Tommy Boy?
Oh, except Outkast.
Yeah, see, Tommy Boy, that was their fault.
That's crazy.
It did have one of my favorite.
No, it got a lot of my favorite. That's why I wasn't mad at it. Joint with Organized Confusion was crazy.
No, this is my joint right here.
Won't go far.
Sometimes I think I'm the only person who loves this song, but I feel very strongly about it. I'm going to play it for you both right now because I care for you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Remember this, Ive?
No.
Don't down on the plate.
Oh, yeah.
This beat is so
what about
big.
Double X Posse? They was from Jersey, too.
Yeah, I
get you loose like the deuce OZ. Niggas know me, because I'm a kid.
All due respect, I love LL Scratch. But why that? It's so random who's on here.
I guess, look, we wasn't big enough for Tommy Boy at the time.
They put E-Brothers on the soundtrack.
But that's the best song on the record. This
song's fire, by the way.
Produced by Rock Raider.
Oh, yeah, Rock Raider did. That's right. Mm-hmm. They shout him out on the record, too.
What year is that soundtrack?
That's like 94? 94, 93, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 94, 95.
Damn.
That is wild. Yeah. So you
start hanging out with the whole Stretch and Bob family.
And that's when the big beat happens. And then is that where you end up meeting the producers for the album too? Yes. Is it all coming from
T-Ray?
That world?
Well, T-Ray, I'll tell you a story. Of course, we get
that's
the deal.
What we want.
They tell us the story.
So who y'all want to? You know, of course, be like Primo, Pete Rock, Lost Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all ain't got the budget for that. But we do have T-Ray, and they said T-Ray, and I knew T-Ray from working with he had Down South. Sean J. Perry was in the group.
And
he was working with them. He did some joints for Double X. And at the time I met T-Ray, he told me to come to the studio and meet him. And they was editing the video for Headcracker for a Double X joint.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he played me the song.
T-Ray did that?
Yes.
Wait, T-Ray did the stuff with Down South too?
Yes, he
but
did.
But not the first single. No, Sean J.
Yeah. But he did a lot. He did work with them. But the Double X joints was the ones that convinced me and Tane to work with him. And he let us come to his crib and actually work with him.
Where was that?
He was living in Brooklyn at the time. He'd been living in Malibu for a long time now, but he's from North Carolina.
You still speak to him?
Yes, I do.
Can you help us get him?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
You're getting somewhere.
You could do a phone in with him. I know he's in Cali, but you could do something with him. Buck Wild, I said, because we can't get them. I said, what about the dude that made the joint Can Front with Sadat and
so
that's Buck. That's Buck. I said, let's go get him. He called Buck. We had a meeting with him. And when we met him in the studio, Rock Raider was there. If anybody that don't know, Rock Raider did all the... Any scratches you hear on the first album is from Rock Raider.
Wow.
So when you hear the cuts on Come On to Get Down, even Dynamite Soul Remix with Mad Skills, that's Raider doing cuts on that.
So funny that you couldn't get Pete Rock or Premier at that time. But when they heard your records, they were probably like, damn, we wish we was on that.
I mean, look, everything costs, but it's like, I still have these dreams. So, even with us being associates, I know what it is.
Yeah.
I know it's a budget first.
Yeah.
No, but the thing later. But the thing is, to Cypher's point, a lot of people were getting Pete records and Primo records, and they had budgets to get them. but not a lot of people put out albums as good as Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I appreciate every time you say that. Every time you said anything like that, because me and Tame made these records not knowing who we were going to attract to our music. We've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of people on each walk of life that ever said that. But when certain people say it, it matters. So I'm just going to tell you, thank you.
We appreciate that.
You don't even know how much you matter to like our upbringing or mine. I don't fuck with him like that. But
right.
But mine, like, wait, were you at the okay. So I went to Nassau Community College and it was a concert.
Right.
It was organized.
No, Best of the Underground. They're on that.
You were on that, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Beat Nuts.
So I have a picture with you.
Yes.
It's organized.
Beat Nuts.
Beat Nuts.
Common.
Artifacts. Yeah. It was the four
and
of them.
Then Search, it was something to do with it. Search might have put it together or something. Search was there.
So that tour came to DC.
Yeah, and look, that was tight. That show.
I couldn't do the DC show?
That show was, I mean, like...
You talking about 930 Club?
Yes.
Why, what happened?
That was the most, like, incredible show.
Like, don't tell me that. I wasn't allowed to go. It was on, like, a fucking Wednesday, and I was 14. I wasn't allowed to go. And other kids in my school went, and I was like, you guys don't even know about Artifacts.
Can we curse?
Yeah, yeah.
That shit was so alive in that building. I mean, like, the floor was shaking. It was so many people in there. But for me... Being a fan of all these dudes, like, I never was able to stay in the back.
Oh, you wanted to watch the show?
Every night, I was in the front, and it would make all of them laugh. Common, I remember we was in Orlando, Pensacola, and he was in, it was not a big place, we was at a school, but where we was at, we had these mics, and it wasn't a big spot, and he saw me in front of the stage again. He's looking at me while he's rocking, like, why? I started B-boying on the floor, because sometimes some shows me and Common would do that. And this night,
Common likes
he came
too.
Off the stage with the mic, and we on the floor. Everybody was backing up. But it was funny as hell, because to be a fan of all them dudes and have the moments we had, but like that tour.
City to city,
we was destroying all them shows. And Mr. Sinister was DJing for Beat Nuts and Common. And Raider was DJing for us.
Damn, are they
I saw Raider do a lot of stuff on stage that I didn't think was possible.
They don't have the remix on Spotify.
The remix was crazy. That's my ID.
It's similar, but the remix just hits a little
harder. The remix is way harder.
For the Boom and Pow.
Yeah, Boom and Pow, Boom and Pow. Yo, it's amazing. Like, for people... People don't even know that
YouTube,
this.
Though.
Yeah, they dumbified it. People don't know that this common like
exists.
No, common sense.
Common. They know. And by the way, I'm even talking about a lot of hip hop heads who did love him on the second album.
You got to think a lot of people that follow him now are the people from B and Go
and all the other stuff.
The Corner.
But there's
a lot of people a lot of people won't say Resurrection album. You say that record for people from our age group.
Yeah, but even Resurrection, he's saying, like, even
different.
If you're a hardcore Resurrection fan, you might not even know about
Take It Easy.
Can I Borrow a Dollar?
Right.
I loved Can I Borrow a Dollar as an album.
Me too.
And then Resurrection's when he got, like, crowned, you know, one of the guys. But here's the remix. This is
crazy.
When this dropped.
He would do this on stage. The whole damn spot would go crazy.
Brown, I'm a pro, but not a noun. If you got beef, you get ground. Cut up and so, by the pound for pound. I'm going downtown like Juliet Brown. I'm the round mound, not a rebound, but like a hound, I get down. Never war release, but I'ma show you how loose is my goose. Got more soul than combat boots.
Man, I'm just jealous you got to go to the shows, let alone perform at the shows.
I was like the luckiest dude ever, like just have all these dudes' records, knowing by heart. And be messing their head up because they see me doing the words too.
So let's get to the album then. Was Wrong Side of the Tracks the first joint recorded?
No, I can say. Okay, so let's talk about Wrong Side of the Tracks.
Shall we?
The first version of that song, demo version, was done by Lord Jamar.
Oh, yes, Syph, have you heard the Lord Jamar demo?
So we talked, I know y'all talked, well, I didn't get to talk about it, but Jamar produced the first record of
That's so crazy.
It's the same way. It's
oh, my God,
y'all
I forgot.
Don't know it.
You knew Jabbar from the very beginning.
Yeah, the story that you told. Yeah,
yes, because
it,
he told me the story. Mm-hmm. Syph, do you hear this story? No. Jamar told me this when I went on his podcast.
Right.
I forgot about that because we were talking about so much more intense mm-hmm. shit. But the best part
accurate.
That he told me.
Very accurate.
Tame had just passed. So Jamar and I talked about Tame. And he's like, I've known Artifact since forever, since before mm-hmm. they were anyone. Brand new being, according to Jamar mm-hmm. and Els verifying this. They knew them as just being really active fans. Like, yes. They remembered them as fans from shows who would, like, kick it and want to rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
And then
go to shows.
See, this show, we knew about this show was that was going to happen because MTV was promoting it. So this was the day, if you remember this freestyle with Lord Finesse and Monie Love.
Okay.
Offer you a customer beat.
Wow. Wait,
I don't remember
You can
that.
Go on YouTube no. and find that right now. Lord Finesse, Monie Love freestyle.
Okay.
It's a very famous freestyle. So
from where?
It was 1990. We were standing in front of the State Building in Harlem, 125th Street.
Oh, yes.
We knew this was going on, so we went to New York. Let me tell you this story, though, what Jamar couldn't tell you. Me and my man Polo Ice, Tame, and A-Cool, we go over there, and we on the PAL train. We all riding on the train, but we got a little punk-ass Crayola marker joints, and the dude saw us. We in the last train. He saw us doing that. And as he's coming,
tagging.
He saw us tagging. We just like, it was nothing. We wiping it off. It's coming up. I don't care. So Tame and A-Cool kept going. Didn't want to get in trouble. Me and Ice, my man Polo Ice, we got caught in Jersey City transferring over to the other train. We're actually going straight to World Trade. We just got taken off. We in the cell. They call our parents. We in there for maybe like an hour and a half. Dude is like, yo, go home. Don't get in trouble. I'm like, we back on the train. We going to Harlem. Let's go. We get to Harlem. We get there. And the show kind of, we heard the show as we're walking up the street. And that's when Moni and Finesse was doing that. We got up there. And then Jamar and them got up. And we was like the only people in the crowd that knew the words. This is Drop the Bomb single is out. Feel So Good was just out not too long before that.
So they're early, brand early.
Very, very beginning.
Right.
So we just went, you know, when they was done, I mean, dude, we are in there like, drop the bomb. Dudes looking at us like, y'all know them?
Like real, like,
do y'all
real,
know these dudes? Yeah. Like, no, we like the record. Y'all know this record?
How'd you hear the record?
Marley and them was, when Brand New Man came out with Feel So Good, that was a big record. And The Box.
The Box.
People was calling that.
Well, and you guys were straight up rap fans.
Just fans. Right. So we saw them. They got off stage. I saw them. I said, Tame, you know what? I don't care. I went right up to them. Didn't even care. I said, look, we this, that, that's them. It's my man. Just pull the ice. Da, da, da. And it wasn't like how today, you know, it might be a little bit overbearing, but it was like, for me, it was like Guru said, you go up to somebody, shake their hand, say what's up, blah, blah, blah. I wasn't all in his face. But he's looking at us, and he's like, okay, dude, Polo down. Hey, man, Ice, Polo down. Tame, Polo. Okay. All right. So he just like, okay, cool. So he talked to me, and then he let me play him a song. And
are you guys even Artifacts yet?
No, we was That's Them.
And oh, you're just what? That's Them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
on cassette?
Yep. On a Walkman. Cassette? Walkman. Straight up Walkman.
Sorry. By the way, I have to say, I was today years old when I realized that the second Artifacts album is called That's Them.
Yes.
Because that's the name of what their group used to be.
And that was the deal we had with Atlantic Records because they didn't like That's Them as our group name. So we went home on the train.
By the way, I rarely say this. I think I agree with the label.
Now, look.
I think Artifacts rings off better. Look,
at the time, see, because that was our name for so long. And the way we got the name, it fit. So we knew it was a possibility that they probably wouldn't like it. So going back home, I'm like, okay, looking at him on the train like, what are we going to do now? Okay, I'm looking at him like, Artifacts. I don't know why I said it. It just came out. He was like, yo, hold up. No Google. So we go home, of course. We know what it mean. We knew what it meant. So we just like, okay, look in the encyclopedia, look in the dictionary.
Like, are we cool with this? Do we like this?
From ancient times being brought to modern times to a studying lesson, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Bro, we still do graffiti. We talk about, we still former B-boys, this, that, and third, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's talking about graffiti. Nobody's talking about the elements, nothing like that. Yeah. So you notice, before we came, nobody was talking about
graffiti. Was definitely not.
No one was talking about graffiti. No
until
one
came back.
Nothing.
It
was no, you got to look at the time frame and within we came. 90, three, we did Nubian Crackers. It was just really the thing that was happening was the classic albums that we know to be from Tribe Called Quest.
What was the Nubian Crackers thing?
They was the break records.
I know that.
Kenny,
but
like the Kenny Dope records and stuff like
that. But you did a record with them?
Yes. It's called Do You Want to Hear It? And a lot of people don't know. That's the first time anybody heard us on Wax.
And you said
Artifacts? Yes. Or that's them.
Yeah, Artifacts.
And is it
they were signed to Big Beat at the time.
Was it on what record
do
is it?
Do you want
to
hear it?
But you guys say it, you also reference it. You go, when I kick that, do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's on Flexi with the Tech.
James said no on that, but that was the reference from that song.
Wow, I got to tell you, I'd seen that record later. And I said it was Atlantic also, right?
Yes,
so
yeah.
What's Nubian Crackers
and
with
Big B used to make records, like, you know, that's where all them Robin S records come from. They were like a party label.
Right. Also, Big B had like a lot of the reggae records back then. Like remember like the
reggae records. Exactly.
Yo, check this, brothers coming up in the news room.
You sound like babies on the track.
Never heard this in my life. Embarrassed to say.
On some artifact, it's bust it. Lick off a shot when I hip hop like hot shot, snapping like pop rocks. The team with the top notch.
Sounds like Artifacts.
Backpacks and naps is a badass. Remember this.
Black ass blasted mad.
I don't even think I realized it was you.
I like the soundtrack. So yo, check the stats of the Jerusalem attack. With snaps and bad rap, I bounce like a Cadillac Fleetwood. The hood bust caps like Eastwood. Ranking like sneakers, shake your head like a beeper. I've been known for smoking Jesus since the day they called it Reaper. Ooh, drop your lip and grab your chin. The nigga freaking on the sneak tip. I'm flipping through more lips than a secret. But people, if you can keep it, then I'm speaking with lyrics. From off the street, we freak the beast. Now who wants to hear it? I'm wicked with slick talk. I walk with the swagger. It's the nappy headed rapper with the Nubian Crackers.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Did it make any noise?
Yes, it did.
Okay, it did. So it made a little...
That pretty much set me and Tame up vocally and the presence of, you know, whether people heard of us or not. It was on that record. And that was a record that was floating around at the same time. A lot of the break records that was happening went down.
So how do we get
now,
to this?
Now this is in Sadat X's room in New Rochelle. In the basement.
Okay.
Did you steal a car to get there?
No.
How'd you get there?
Actually, my man Mark.
Oh, Mark.
And Troy from Jersey. They came. I don't think they came with us this day. I think we drove ourselves there this day. My man, Paula White's mom used to let us drive the car.
From the wrong fucking side of the track. Started from the wrong side. I'm out to bomb like Vietnam. The same thing, same one, the bad one. Incredible master with the magnum. I tagged up quick, and then I step to the exit when it's time to get accepted.
How old are you here?
Tame, we was maybe like 21, maybe.
That is a far cry from where you landed with Wrong Side of the Tracks.
Oh, yeah. And because we couldn't clear that James Brown sample.
Did Jamar come up with the Wrong Side of the Tracks thing?
All that is Jamar. All we did was write the lyrics. So the way the song is on this other beat with T-Ray, we just changed the beat.
That original chorus that he's doing when he's saying
Jamar,
that's Jamar?
But when, yes, and we couldn't get him to do it on the record because he was on tour. So the label.
Originally.
Wow.
Originally. Imagine that.
Wait, so Wrong Side of the Tracks was supposed to be featuring Lord Jamar?
Yes.
So he would have did the hook.
He would have did the hook and he would have been in the video with us and everything.
Yo, that is wild. So you go from that version to something that ends up sounding completely different.
Exactly. And look, even when the way that came, we always wanted to use that Knife Creation sample. You know, everybody. You know, you got to think how many people used it. Third Bass and Tice. Pete Rock used it. Chubb Rock used it.
This is one of my top 10 90s
top rate
hip hop beat.
So when T-Ray did this, did you know right away, like, oh, that's it?
Oh, no. We sat in his basement in Brooklyn, and we pulled these records out. The drums, you know, we knew came from Black Moon's single, and we, of course, he knew where it came from. So when he played, it was like, oh, chop that up. And we always wanted to use the Night Creation joint. But the thing that separated this record from a lot of the other people that sampled it was the fact of them horns.
Yeah. Mm.
He put that Jack Bruce record on. We just happened, Tame was smoking. I wasn't smoking at the time. I think I was eating or something like that. And T-Ray put that record on and just was playing it. And then it got to that part. Bun-um, bun-um, bring! And we looked at each other like, bring that back, bring that back, bring that back. And then he played it because at this time, we already had looped some of this up. It was just basically playing straight with the drums, wasn't stripping or nothing. They were just playing straight, and when that horn got on there, he's like, yo, okay, boom, loop that. Yeah. And he found the other two parts. Those other two stabs is different from another record. And then when you go back and you listen to that original Jack Bruce record, you hear Wrong Side. Then right after that, Cellar Dweller sample come out. Then it got another. So
that's even Pete Rock and CL Smooth used it, but they didn't use the bass line part.
Yeah, right. Now, so Pete Rock used that sample enough. So when you go to...
You said Jack Bruce?
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
I don't know the name of the song, but when you put in Jack Bruce, put in Artifacts, and it'll come up. So when you hear the number one Soul Brother on the Soul Brother album, the end of the beat, when that, Jesus, sweet soul, boom, boom, he only took the end part of the sample where we used the whole thing.
And then did Black Sheep use it also?
Black Sheep used, the drums that we use for What's Up Now, Motherfucker, Black Sheep used
Born
that.
To Be Blue.
Black Sheep used those drums.
Is that about the cops?
I don't doubt it, Sif. Jack Bruce, Born to Be Blue. Here it is. Here it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now let it rock. Let it rock. Let it rock.
Yeah, I remember just sitting in my room just playing records like this for hours, bro. I don't do that shit no more.
It was sampled in.
Good therapy. Good therapy.
Oh, Bucktown. Wrong Side of the Tracks. Mm-hmm. Sally Got a One Track Mind remix.
Yeah. Oh, remix. I don't know.
Showbiz and AG, Hold Your Head. Mm-hmm. Land of the Lost. Mm-hmm. Blunts by Nice and Smooth.
Yeah.
IBW in But With My Crew by Yo Yo.
You gotta think that was, and for Diggers, that was a go to record.
Jesus,
you
know? So many little pieces.
T Ray found that part just took the cake, and we was like, wow. And I think all those, I don't say they came after us, but some was before, but some was after.
And man, this song right here, though, it's interesting too, because the style of horn that it is. It doesn't sound anything. You wouldn't confuse it with a Pete Rock horn at all. No. It sounds totally different. Where's the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo?
That's from the Ninth Creation.
Yeah. Oh, that's Ninth Creation. Yeah, let's go.
And I actually am now friends with that guy. So the group, the brother.
Yeah.
So it was two brothers in the group. One died and the other one's still alive. I've talked to him many times. I was trying to help him do his merch and everything like that.
Really?
I schooled him on a lot of things he didn't know. But because his brother was in charge of doing everything, I told him, I said, yo, I don't know if you know this, but we did pay your brother to use the sample. I said, you know how many other people use the record? He's like, no. So I gave him a list of everybody that used the Ninth Creation sample, and he had no idea because he's not in rap. He's not in
rap. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I think it showed him how big they were of a group for us.
Bubblegum. That's what it was called.
Bubblegum.
It's crazy in the beginning.
Bubblegum Ninth Creation was sampled in Wrong Side of the Tracks. Oh, Quasimodo, The Unseen, Soul Brother Number One, Derelicts of Dialect, The One by Chubb Rock.
Mm-hmm. And Tice should be on there too.
And Tice, Black to the Point. By the way, when you guys came up with the Artifacts name, safe to assume Tame came up with the logo?
No.
Really?
Okay, so it was a guy.
Unsafe to assume.
Yeah,
I can't remember his last name, but if you can recall a shirt company back in the day called Third Rail.
Mm-hmm.
Third Rail, it was a lot of clothing companies in L.A., Conard, Gat, but Third Rail did a lot of the Method Man shirt that had the Mr. Bubbles and the and Method Man song in the video, he had one of his shirts on. So when you if you look up this company and you look at the letters, this guy, his name is Dante. He had a company called Pawn Shop Press. He actually did a lot of a majority of the Cypress Hill album covers over the early in the early years, up until like maybe Black Sunday. He did a lot of logos for people. Funk Dubious, he did the artwork for that album cover.
Oh, you know what? That makes sense. I could see the through line.
Yeah.
I'm looking now at vintage Third Rail clothing.
See?
So he made the Artifacts logo.
Yes, sir. And he did. He was and actually the first. So, okay, Ego Trip has the Ego Trip magazine.
Mm-hmm.
They had a book. And they have they document the
Book of Rapalus.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, of course, the best album covers. And that, so we in the, that album cover is in the top 10 single covers as far as that book. This guy.
What, Wrong Side of the Tracks?
Yes.
Oh, so it's a great
the record cover.
Cover
itself, Martha Cooper helped. So the Subway art book, she gave him pictures from the book.
Mm.
He showed me and Tame a picture of a piece that he did on the wall, like this big about. Had a, but. I forgot. It said Snoop Dogg, and he drew a picture of Snoop face, and he showed us the train without us on it, of course. But I'm like, oh my god, yo, where did the train come from, though? So this is like early Photoshop. Nothing like this ever been done. So there's a lot. I'm about to probably break a lot of people's hearts. So everybody out there, get ready. There's a lot of people out there that think that that train is real on the cover. It's not.
It was just a picture of a train.
It is the picture of a train, two train. And my man did the Photoshop so good. And I tell people, like, look. Like how they had that little meme they got with Kevin Hart. Look at this. Look at this. Look at that window right there. Look at that. It's not supposed to be like that. That's not how windows get painted on. So they like, oh, word, I see it. Like, no, it's not. So I had a few dudes like, yo, come on, B. That's not real, son. It's like, nah, B, it's not real. We wasn't in New York in the middle of 93, 94 painting the whole train.
Do you have any idea how many copies you sold?
Of that record? Maybe not. I mean, I know we still owe Atlantic a lot of money for doing those two crazy albums. You know, when you talk about doing records like that back in the day, it wasn't a lot of money we were getting for these budgets, but when you talk about the caliber of music we were doing that they wanted us to do, it wasn't selling enough for them. And as you can see, a lot of independent record labels fell off that had big time backing from a major.
Yep.
Whether this was Priority, whether if it was Big Beat, whether if it was, you know, a lot of these labels that were subsidiaries of a major tended to disappear.
So how much was the advance, for example, for the album?
For me and Tame back then together, probably like 30.
30 grand?
Yeah.
So nothing crazy.
Nah, nothing crazy, but something to do.
Bro, it was, this is so underground back in the day.
Right. But,
so
but what was the
budget? It is like everybody. So even with us having, I would say the most money we spent on was mixing. Mixing the album. And we learned from that doing the second album. With the second album, we working with Sean J. Period for 2 weeks. Songs was done. 7-8 songs, the joints we did with him was done in 2 weeks. Because he kept coming every session with a new beat. And his beats was like set up on the crazy numbers like 2, 4, 6, and 8, and 10. So we would listen to a beat tape and it'll be like, okay, 2 is crazy. 4 is crazy. Wow, okay. So we stop on 2 and 4. He'd come back, play the more beats, and then it was like, damn, 6 is dope, 8 is dope. Why is this on the even numbers, though? I'm like, Sean, you got some theory where you got like these, you picking the ones that's 2, 4, 6. He said, yeah, I noticed that when you were doing that before, so I kept them like that. I said, but how would you even know that we would like him? Well, because I figured the feeling of him, y'all might, you know. So I was like, well, that's crazy how you could do 1 and 3 and 5 like those, and then these like this. So he had a theory for himself, and it worked because we took all of those beats that he gave us.
Wasn't there like a story that Sean J. Period like found God and stopped sampling?
Sean always found God. Sean always knew God, but I think Sean found the fact that not wanting to be sued for sampling, he got a taste of that early. And he said, okay, you know, especially if he know how to do it. So Body Rock, I think, would say, and my solo single, Frontline, was his first opportunities to do that. Mm. So
to play without sampling. Play,
yes. Because, you know, I think even a few songs that we had on the second album, he replayed. Because he didn't, you know, he knew that he couldn't clear it.
Who was in that group down south?
Mayor, Sean J. It was two other people.
Did any of them?
Mayor used to work at, he used to be the manager at Fat Farm at the Prince.
Yeah, I know that name. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Darcy
so King he was in Down South.
Yes.
We just referenced it for the second time, so now I have to play it. So I was tempted to play it before because I realized that if we talk about it, like everyone knows this record. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people listening do not know this record. This is still very sampling Sean J. Pierce.
Right, right, right. And this is when Sean was like, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. I ain't paying no bread. You got to think that record right there is a well-known record sample was.
What the sample was?
Yeah.
That's Sean.
I guess. I guess we do reference these things like everyone listening knows.
Oh, everyone remembers Down South Southern Comfort. Like, right, yeah, not right, everybody. Right. I mean,
only cats like us know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, and we have younger listeners too. Yeah. And then Sean J. Did you work with Sean J. at all during the Raucous days? Because he did a bunch of Raucous records.
Word up. He did Mos Def Children's Story, which is one of my favorite.
And
you know what else he did?
He did his first single as well.
Remember this?
You don't stop, baby. Mm-hmm. Sean J, baby.
What?
Period.
What's this?
This is post sample days. This is Action Guaranteed OC and Rascass off of Lyricist Lounge.
Big blue, baby, delicious. Oh, yeah, you did. He's about if you can hunt, you can hear.
Yes.
Oh, he did. And, I forgot.
Sean J. And the other one, too.
The both sides. Universal Mac.
Hey, Syph, you know, we should get on one app.
See, look, I'll tell y'all now. Y'all bring me up here, I'll be the whole.
You're the conduit?
Everything.
You still talk to Sean J?
Yes. I actually put up a song called Frontline.
Oh, this is your single. By the way, I played this record, bro. This was a 12-inch?
Yes. And that was, Fabbies put that out for me at a time when Ruckus had it first. But I didn't play that for him. I didn't play that. I played the B-side for him when he heard this.
YouTube or Spotify?
YouTube.
Okay.
And shout out to Matt Fingers who put out the Frontline. He put the Frontline record out for me.
Oh, was this shit on the Super Rappin' album?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it was, I think he... I had another record on that Super Rapping record, but I don't think they put that on there.
Let me see if I remember Frontline.
Yeah. Now this is no samples.
Smoke differentness. Y'all know what's going on with this right here. Yo, it's Sean J. It's going down like that. Elder Sensei. For the 9-8-FT. Mike Two, Prince Poe. Barrel March. The Frontline.
This was the last song Organized Confusion did together as a group.
It's you and Organized?
Yes.
My vendetta in this form, a musical song, is to enlighten and brighten the mind through instrument and rhyme, and fix those inadequate flows that don't adapt, making snacks on wax plates for DJs to scratch. Fast slash, cross hatch slash, cross patch, every word of mine, verbally so tight to match.
I'll tell you what.
What happened to Sean J?
Yo, he's still working.
What does he do? What kind of
stuff? Sean has a protege, so my man Kate Kelsey, big, coming up and coming producer, I'm sorry. And Sean is, he has beat packs out there. He's still producing records. He just produced one with one of Kelsey's artists that he's working with right now. Sean has worked with me over the years, but I would say on the production side, he started concentrating on that more. So that's where the beat packs come from. He had a few of them.
Where does he live?
Sean is in VA.
VA. Oh, yeah, that's right.
What part? Richmond? Because I'm going to be down in Richmond February 9th through 11th at Sandman's
Comedy. Sean is in Brooklyn. He's in New York.
Sean's in New York?
He's still in Brooklyn.
What's Syph? I'm sorry. Is he going to be in Richmond?
But he's from VA.
Hey, but Sean, you should call your friends down in Richmond, VA, because I'm going to be down there at Sandman's Comedy Club February 9th through 11th.
There you go. By the way, this is the way you have to get all your plugs in from now on. Like on our guest episodes? Yeah, you have to find creative ways to slip them
right,
in.
Right, right, right.
So did you guys have like a philosophy about doing singles in such a way? Because like you may, in addition to the many great things about Artifacts, you guys may have done the best singles of anyone. Like you would put out an original, a B-side, then What's Up Now, Motherfucker, and then the bonus beats.
Yeah, exactly.
You were always putting on somewhat shit. Like, was that a philosophy or?
I mean, being somewhat of DJs ourselves, me and Tame both know how to DJ. Well, Tame knew how to DJ. I do too as well. I can juggle here and there. handle the party if I wanted to, but I wouldn't. Chaos, that was his fault for doing that. But thinking of him and a lot of other DJs, we made sure to make every groove happen in the record. And so we found out too much of that would cloud up the record and groove capacity.
Correct. You don't want to
sound wise was crazy, but we just wanted to fill it up. But even with the singles, so this was learned from being a fan. So you have a remix, you really remix the song.
Yeah.
You really change the beat.
You almost remake. Yeah,
yes,
you remade the song.
Exactly. Another so song, when you think about Brand New being Off One, they have a remix for that. On the Slow Down single, it's like two remixes on it. So, you know, so these things, we thought like, okay, this is how we expand the record a little bit more by either adding bonus beats or adding a cappella. But we always knew, so like Dynamite Soul record, has the original, the remix, and then the bonus joint, Who I Am.
Who I Am, which I'm in love with.
I love that record. I wish we would have shot a video for that. But that's like one of the little sneaky songs that make people feel like
well,
that.
Well, let's hit people off real quick with the first Artifacts remix we ever heard and hear about that.
Word. Okay, we're going to talk about that too. I got a story for you.
And matches. All the rappers try to catch us, but I roast them up for practice. So act like you knew where you'll be through in your division. I've been waiting and watching for you to fuck up your position. Man, listen, isn't this some shit for niggas' asses? Like when I flip the script, pause, and flick my Philly asses. Yup, that's the status of the rappers with the cabbage. Other crews getting axed average, but they all fall below average. My head naps is massive, and I'm evil like an evil. And I'm diesel for the sequel, I'm a freaking for my people. Cigars like Bill Cars represent one love like Nas. Niggas rap is my job. Tame the terror, drops the bomb on the move fakers. Now I'm stable making papers. Ain't gonna be no motherfucker stealing bread from off my table if I'm able to feed those who need, then proceed. But for those out for greed, take heed and get these.
I said, come on, get down with the
voices were so crisp.
Come on, get down. Come on, with it. Come on, get down with the get down.
This is Boom Bap Rapper annihilates the next.
I don't fuck with this music. So that's Come On With The Get Down remix, right. Buck Wild remix. The last verse, of course, is Busta Rhymes. It's one of the weirdest Busta flows, by the way.
Yeah, look, look.
So what's the story? You said you had a story about
this. Yeah, so this song only happened because we was on a trip to Morgan State College, Artifacts, KMD, Curious George, TCF Crew.
What? Who?
TCF Crew.
Who's TCF Crew?
That Trackmasters produced?
Sean and Kenny, the dancers from Coogee Rap, had a singing group. So they was on the bus, and then in the front of the, we was in the back. Hard to Obtain was with us too.
Shouts out to Hard to Obtain.
In the front of the bus.
K-Fox's cousin.
Exactly.
In Hard to Obtain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Front of the bus, it was Jay-Z, Dame. See, bus, Lisa of the New School.
Sif, every underground story has a Jay-Z tie, of course.
Leaders, and I think that was it. So we had a radio in the back, me and Tame, and we was playing some. We only had like six songs recorded for the album, and we had a tape. So he's like, you know, hearing this music in the back, Buster's like, yo, bring the radio up here. And we don't even know him. He snatched the radio out of my hand.
You know Buster?
No, nothing at That's, all.
It already sounds
this
like a very Buster story,
is
though.
Leaders. You know, on the bus, all together. This is like, I think maybe before the MTV interview. So he took the radio and he's like, yo, what's your name? He's like, Artifacts. Oh, I heard about y'all. Stretching Bobbito Show. Yeah, because I be listening to. So he's talking to us like, yo, so yeah, man, I want to see what y'all playing. Like a couple of songs from the album. So this is like everybody's surrounded. And this is on a bus. We moving.
A tour bus?
Yes, like a regular.
No, but like a bus.
Like academy, an academy bus.
Right.
And we go on the Atlanta
seats. So it's just seats.
Yes. So
it's
we, not all, like, no, we all seated in, but like in the house.
Yeah.
So Buster is in the house, he's playing. So he rewound the tape. And he played the first song, I think it was maybe Heavy Ammunition. Another song came on, then Come On The Get Down came on. And that came on, and maybe like four bars of that, he stopped it and looked at me and Tame. Played it again. Halfway through the verse. Stopped it again. Rewound it. Played the whole first verse, get to the hook. He's like, he said, yo, rewound it again. Then he played the whole song. Then he rewound the song all the way back and then played. This was in front of everybody. He wasn't even talking. Just kept playing it. And then he said, yo, right in front of everybody. He's like, yo, look, if y'all ever do a remix for this song, I want to be on it. And when he said that, the whole bus was in complete silence. Like, mind you,
Yeah, he's in a group
Dingo
at the time.
Charlie, Dingo Charlie.
And I want to be on
now,
this.
Now, like, I'm looking at them, they looking at us, and then out of nowhere, I think we had some beats on the tape, and it got to that point of the tape, and right there, everybody just start freestyling. Dink Charlie starts it off. He start rocking, Dinko start rocking. We all, and then it kind of, like, stopped, and we just, Busta was like,
what was Jay-Z doing?
And Jay-Z was, look.
He was in there, too?
Let me tell you what he did.
This sounds like some Brooklyn shit.
So everybody's listening to the song now. And they just go, yo, play it again. Like, I'm like, damn. So this is the only song being played now, and we almost at the school. Play it again. Everybody, Jay-Z had a couple of times. We go in there, we do, this is when he's just with Original Flavor. That's who else was with us.
Yeah, I was about to say, Original Flavor had to be on the song. Right.
Right, so they with him. We do the show, and Busta didn't get back on the bus. He's like, yo, look, I got my phone number. I'm serious, call me if y'all do that. I was like, okay, bet. So that's how me and his friendship started. We get back on the bus. Now it's dark. Bus driver's like, yo, nobody's smoking weed. We were smoking going down there. Nobody's smoking. First person smoking. You getting kicked off. I don't care what part of the highway we at. You getting off. So then it's dark, pitch black on the bus. No radio. I still got the radio. It's quiet. And out of the darkness, you heard somebody on that bus like, yo, Al, play the song, yo. I said, what song? Come on, yo, play the song, yo, play the song, yo. Okay, I played it. We in Maryland, all the way back to Port Authority, one song. Everybody on the bus singing the hook.
The original one.
Yes, they singing the hook, and it got to a point where it wasn't come on with the come on, get down with the get down. Now it's just come on, get down. And he asked for it, and I'm going to tell you another story.
Wait, who at Jay wanted to
Jay, get? Now I'm going to tell you a story. Go on YouTube.
Okay.
Put in Miss Jade and Jay-Z.
It comes up as a YouTube
exactly.
search.
Exactly. It's going to be in there.
The song that she had called, this is called Count It Off.
Yes.
Featuring Jay-Z.
So her verse is first.
All right.
You got to go to the second verse and before his verse starts. And watch what you tell me you hear Jay-Z going to say. You got to get to the end of her verse.
I remember this record now. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's Young Vito.
Yo,
it's the young
Jim
people
Drop.
Rock. CEO, hot fish for the PO.
Wait, it's crazy. And then he says is the bar that he used way later, way more famous. Young Vito, voice of the young people. That's crazy.
So anybody that ever heard this story that don't know about that song, and the only reason why I know about that was because me, AG, and Party Artie, rest in peace, was in Europe doing a tour in 2003, and he played me that song. He said, you know about this song right here? I said, what's that? I said, I knew who it was, but then... He said, no. Listen, watch the hook.
Oh, your mind must. Wait.
And look, but we was getting on the, we was at a gas station on the bus. We was getting, we gassing up, leaving the city. I think we was in Paris. And Artie just came out the store, the gas station, probably got beer in his hand early in the morning. Hell, you know about this? No, what is this? What is this? He said, yo, and I told him the story about that bus driver.
That's crazy.
And he said, yo, that's crazy, bro. Like, I didn't even know it existed until he told me. And I played that for Tame. Actually, the last time he was at my house, because he didn't know.
Up until recently?
I kid you not. I'm not lying. I played that for him, because he didn't know about it either. And he was like, yo. And I told him, remember we was on the bus? I said, that's how much he liked that song.
Yo, L, play the song.
Yo, wait. So, wait, you're saying you just played it for Tame?
This year.
Isn't it kind of crazy... That before he passed, he got to like be officially reminded of admiration from the guy who's largely considered the greatest of all time.
He was blown away. He was like, hey, yo, where did this come from? I said, dude, like, and I told him the same thing. Party already played it for me. And I don't know why it never came to my mind to play it for him before.
But talk just, about, of all the things that I tell
came,
someone.
It just came to me. I was like, hey, yo, you ever heard this before?
Wow, that's amazing.
Was there any, being around Jay at that time, was there any inclination
yes,
that this guy
I
was
knew,
like?
I already knew. Listen, he came to Jersey, and Checkers had just opened up the spot.
Love
the burger spot.
Yeah. And he came, and this is when his first single came out, just after Original Flavor. They came too. And I saw him.
What, to a show?
Yeah, he came to Checkers.
Wait, performed.
At Checkers in the parking lot with us.
Jay-Z performed at
WBLS.
Okay.
Hosted this event.
The Checkers opening.
And
fast food joint.
Yes.
Jay-Z rapped in the parking lot at a Checkers opening.
No. It's not even that. At any moment, there could have been some kind of after a show in a Checkers parking lot.
Right.
This was for Checkers.
It was a big deal because nobody knew who he was. It was just, you know, because BLS hosted it.
Yeah.
You know, we knew who he was.
But
this was like.
Yeah, very early.
Really, really. Preparation for what I knew was gonna be not what it is today, but then I saw him after that at the Javits Center, and they used to have every year they had these functions where it would be like, not some Greek Fest thing or something like that, but it would be the big event. Everybody would go there every year at Javits Center. So I saw him there outside. I'm walking up to the building, and this is he had the ES same car in the video. I'm like, I knew. I'm looking at him. He looking at me. He laughing. We both laughing. And he said, "Oh, this is from the Big Daddy Kane money." That's all he said to me.
That's wow. Crazy. And you said Dame was on the bus too?
Yeah. Did Dame
manage Original Flavor?
Yeah, I think so at the time. Yeah. And it's crazy. What's crazy, even later on in life, T Strong, the dude in the group with the light eyes, lived in my neighborhood.
Really?
I'm like, yo, bro. I kept seeing him in the store. Like, why this dude in my neighborhood? And I just like, yo, he looked at me and was like, I'm like, why you in my neighborhood? What you doing? He was like, yo. And not too long after that, a connection came in my mind because I saw Biggs one time in the neighborhood as well in the gas station I go to. I'm like, wow. I put two and two together. I was like, he must live right here too or know of him to live right here. So
yeah.
It's crazy how all this stuff happens. You know, it's just weird.
That's crazy. That come on with the come on part though.
Yeah, see look, I almost forgot myself. I'm glad I said that.
Yeah, by the way, so are we. That's the kind of shit. That's why we do the podcast.
Everybody else that's gonna hear this, y'all gonna freak out. You gonna tell all your friends about it.
But it's those stories about Jay that we should do a podcast about Jay-Z. No, it's those stories like him being on the Dead Prez song. Mm-hmm. What you just showed us is the latest version I ever heard, but we know he has this love for hip hop to another level, and then just fights with the commercial success of it. You know,
but when you and I'll say this, being an artist, myself, and dudes like myself, will never know what that life is like.
Yeah,
ever. As sad as it may sound to some of you people, we'll never know what that's like,
bro. That was
so, but to know when we was in Morgan State. And we went to the radio station in there, and me, him, Original Flavor, not Tame so much, but we had a heated debate. I remember this in the radio station about who was a better DJ on the In Control show, Pete Rock or Clark Kent.
Mm.
And I'm not thinking about connection wise, Clark.
All that James Clark, yeah.
So we was like, I'm like, but I was like, yo, Clark was deep, but he was a little, compared to Pete, it was cuts with a little sloppy, da da da. But then I had
that's a Brooklyn thing.
Yeah, though. But look, and I had to understand that because I'm talking about Chili Q, I'm talking about all these other cats that was grouped guest DJs on In Control. So I had to understand, like, okay, this is the man. But then I knew who Clark was too because he was in the Superman crew.
Yeah.
So as an MC, I paid attention to all this stuff. So, but, that conversation showed me his heart far as like his, what he knew, not even say knew, but what he had in his heart far as hip hop on the level of him being a listener and a fan of Clark.
Well, but it's almost, we almost like, you were just saying, Syph, like a reminder of like how hip hop he was. We have to say that to ourselves now because he got so big.
Yeah.
But it really, it really goes without saying because he was one of y'all.
Right. I mean,
like he was.
Yeah,
it's like that for him and Nas. You know what I'm saying? When you look at, I'm happy for these dudes. When you think about where we all came from, starting period wise, they was just like us.
And by the way, I think it's bullshit. I think it's bullshit. I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think it's bullshit that anyone would think it's sad. these are once in a lifetime people.
Only reason why I'm gonna say that is because when you watch a lot of podcast shows and you watch a lot of cats from our era talk, from a place of anger.
Oh, they sound sad. So it makes you sad.
Like, not, right. And, but I'm just saying, like, even when you think about people who want to do it, yeah, and they listen to these stories and they watch these shows and they listen to these cats. Even when you watch Unsung on TV1, when you watch all those, it's never so much. Brandon Bean was an exception because they still rock together. Yeah. So when you watch that, it's an ongoing story still. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But for some people, they either die or they fall on hard times. A lot of these people that think that even for my level, what I do independent wise, when they look at the money and they think about, I mean, I'm going to say this here too. I'm going to tell y'all, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I want y'all to know that a lot of us cats that got their business straight and actually pay taxes on an independent level, there's a lot of things you could do as an independent artist where you don't have to look at it as a bad thing. Yeah. A lot of people look at independence as a bad thing. And in order for me to still be here today, for me to be independent is how I'm still sitting here talking to y'all. Being from a major label to transfer into the independent world, it's cool to say now. Craig G said this to me. L, don't you notice how a lot of people say they're independent? They want to be independent on their own masters. It wasn't cool to say that 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
It was a fail.
Because you wanted to be signed to a label. And that was a cool thing to be until you don't have that cushion or comfort or blanket and you're doing it on your own. And now people see the measure of what you have to go through to either press your own records, do TuneCore. A lot of these people doing this, y'all, you got Empire label. I'm signed to Empire as an artist. I got a publishing deal with Empire as an artist. You can do these things as long as your records are hot. If you give yourself a chance and maintain your status and take yourself seriously, you don't have to look at this as a thing of where when you listen to a lot of people be on these shows, they have their head down, they mad, they angry. Because a lot of these cats ain't working today. But if they was, and if they knew the things that would go into doing these, they would be a lot more successful if they would think about the fact that the things you got to account for are your own.
Yo, by the way, there's a lot of gems. A lot of gems.
Game is the art and...
Yeah, exactly. And that sense it with the fucking words. Art of facts, if you will.
Right.
So, given all that, do you make money on the fucking, on the artifact shit that plays on Spotify?
Yes, we do. Well, see, now, this is the first time me and Tame even had a real release that we can say it's our own rather than it be from Atlantic Records.
Right.
Because you got to understand, y'all, there was no such thing as streaming. So when you think about these records from our past coming out today, in order for them to be online for Spotify and iTunes, the labels still own these records. So it's up to them to put it up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of sneaky ways you can do things. There were no contracts with things saying streaming in it and iTunes and Spotify. So
I saw before.
These things are, and so if you ever was an artist and you got a letter in the mail saying XM Sirius Radio got sued and this thing, all those things happened for us to be able to do all these things because the artist was getting mad with the fact that what is this computer shit? What is this on the airplane? I'm hearing my song on the headphones and then all this over here, and so all these things started happening where people was like, "Yo, we ain't getting paid for this shit on the airplane."
Mm-hmm. Right.
So a lot of these people, because these bigger companies are able to spread it out so much, this lawsuit happened where they had to say, "Okay, there's a lot of DJs playing a lot of records on a lot of different stations," and this is when they caught up. So even where, say, Atlantic, they have the second album up there. Because that was a more newer record that they would say they can, not say control, but put up. Mm-hmm. First album wasn't up there for a minute. Right. Then it showed up. This is them catching up. So they know, damn, we didn't have this in the contract. So they could possibly, yeah, because y'all don't own the rights to the digital thing this like part, that. Yeah. So now you see all this stuff happening.
So you get...
So we do.
You do okay with it. And you do better with this, though, the expiration date.
Yes, anything that's, after Atlantic is good. You know, a lot of records I've made over the years, even me and Sadat got an album together called XL. So anybody who don't know about that, you can pick up that record. And a lot of these records that I've made over the years were in the European releases, just no different than this record with me and Tame. It was released out of Germany. But you got online now, so it's almost like they right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to back in the day when your man that you knew over in Europe would come over to New York, buy all the gear, buy all the whole bootleg gear and all the records and tapes and bring it back to their city, and that's how they caught up.
And then...
Make me come from
work.
That.
Ask you his first record.
Yeah.
I just spoke to Bad Skills today.
Really? What was that, man?
Because I'm going down to Richmond, Virginia, February 9th to 11th. Sandman's Comedy Club.
Is he going to come out?
He said he lives in L.A. now.
Oh, worse. You know, that's right. That's right. He DJed that.
Was that just a, was that a label thing?
Nah, that was a me and Tame thing. We knew he was going to be next. I think he was at the label. He came to the studio and he was sitting in there chilling with us. And I was like, hey, man, get on the joint.
But he was already signed or no?
Yeah, he just got signed.
Wow.
Man, we put him on.
What's the Artifact song? I think it was on a, was it a soundtrack?
Yep, High School High.
High School High. What was that song?
The Ultimate.
The Ultimate.
But it was on the album too.
I got a story about that too. I tried to get your boy Jay Dilla to do a remix.
But you did.
No, that's the unofficial. The official remix was Showbiz.
Oh, Showbiz remix. Of course. Sorry. God, I'm ashamed of myself.
No, you're good.
But I even said that. This is the official as it's known remix. Is this.
One, two. Once again. This was so dope. I'm glad we got to do this.
It's actually a very different Showbiz beat too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like he made the beat for the Artifacts.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys.
It's funny too because when we was doing that, he actually stopped the session because Tame, I don't know, there was something going on with him that day where he could tell something was up and he brought us in the booth. And at the time, Fat Joe, Angie Martinez, and Juju and them was in the other room. I don't know if Tame was so focused on that. He straight up was like, yo, come here, come in the booth. So Showbiz turned off the mic. He said, yo, is that bothering y'all? Are they making too much noise? He was like, nah, I'm good. But then he was like, yo, you got to shut it down? Y'all want to shut it down? They want to come back? Because he went out the booth, went in there, y'all got to chill. He came back.
But they was in the,
cause they was in the, they was in the
next room or the lobby?
Just having fun, in the other room. So he said, yo, so like.
What studio was it?
Oh.
D&D?
I want to say Unique.
Oh, Unique.
Maybe. And he said, y'all want to stop? If that's bothering you, I can shut it down right now. Tame was like, yeah. So we came back. Next day. But he said, if we got to shut it down to come back, because look, Buck, Finesse, even LP, bro, got to work with y'all. And, you know, he pretty much saying, I'm the head of DITC. How come I get my chance now? If y'all got to stop today and come back, and the next day we came back, and that's what you heard.
And we got that all. Yep. And so this.
Now, this is my man House Shoes. So salute to him. He hit me up. And I told him we was doing a remix for this. But at the time, Reef had gave me a beat tape. One side was all beat minus, and the other side was Dilla and some beats from Organized Confusion. This was on there. Now, I don't think this was on there, but when I listened to the tape, what I did hear was Stakes Is High. Beat was on that beat tape.
Shit.
But it built up. It wasn't like how you know it. When it came on, it was just the horns. And then the bass line wasn't there. So it was just the snares and the pop. And then it kind of like disappeared a little bit. The beat faded out. So I said, I know what that's about. Okay. But then I heard the song afterwards. I was like, oh my God, that's that beat we had on the tape. Wow. Another beat we had, Rockwilder, Busta, and Erykah Badu. That song.
Which one?
Just One. And we didn't have enough money. We couldn't get that one.
Did the label, you mentioned the label like wanting you, of course, like have big singles. Mm. Did they like actively try to push you to do like a singly single with like someone singing on it?
No, I would tell you the most singly thing we ever have is The Ultimate.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that they was doing the soundtrack for that. So they were waiting. We was doing the second album. We was doing That's Them. So Reef came in the studio. Yo, look, this is what's happening. Look at this. Soundtrack. Yeah, Mike, and I'm seeing all these songs on it. He showed me the list. P-Rock and Lothro, the Rap World joint. I'm like, it's a Wu joint. I'm like, oh, right. Roots, dog. Like, what? All these people on here? He said, and we ain't on here? And just that day, he was there. And he was in the studio when we were doing the Ultimate. And Reef was like, yo, he left. Came back. He went home. Go get that Ultimate 3 MC's record. And that made the difference in the record. Mm. No matter what we were saying, no matter, he came back with the record. He's like, yo, loop this. Ultimate.
Mm. But wasn't Ultimate on the first album?
No.
It's on the second album.
Second album.
After High School High. Yes. Then it went on the second album.
It was just a song.
Right.
And they liked it so much because of the beat. They was like, okay, that's going on.
And Reef put the Ultimate hook on it?
Yes. Reef left. This one he was living uptown. It's still uptown. He was on 102nd, maybe 100, but over there, but this was like no Uber, no nothing, no that, no going on the phone, going on the laptop, yep. Searching, nothing. He left the studio, got on the train, went all the way uptown, came back, maybe took him an hour to do that.
That's crazy.
Sly, you know when this was?
Years ago.
You could damn near do an album of all the remixes you had.
Mm-hmm.
The remix could be a separate album.
Right. And that's what's going to happen with that one right there.
Mm.
You didn't even touch Redman yet.
I know.
Yeah.
So let's just play this for a second, though, because I'd be remiss.
Sean Jay.
What's this?
I remember the first time I heard this on the radio in D.C.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, there's a new Artifact single. I heard the DJ blend in instrumental, and I was like, I might even have a tape somewhere.
And clock off dice that roll funny, getting blunted off somebody's hoe money. Honeys beeping me for cheese, ease back. Please keep that weave intact. Best believe the tamer D will be back. Get the weed sex, relax. Fuck a flick from Blockbuster, I'ma touch ya. Proving who got the bomb like Russia. Friendly neighborhood rap hood with goods. Could it be? Yes, no question. Take one. Now let's start up the session. Kick a rap out till I black out. Check out when I wreck out, throwing facts out. Laughing out loud when niggas crap out. Me, I want more G's than the LAPD from when I wrote my first rhyme in 83. Each piece release, I reach mat blocks, analyzing more spots than Matlock. Now I got this rapping shit on padlock. You only half rock. My shit returns like resurrections in religion. Was fucking with the fact we only bullshit. Taking notes, stating all quotes. Niggas couldn't see me through an optometrist scope. Open by the rhythm MCs, that's hardest. New Jerusalem.
Artifacts be the artist.
Main target.
Whenever I feel bad, whenever we get to Sensei, then it's time to stop. So that's Artifacts, the single off That's Them. Do you feel that That's Them gets its love? Because, I mean, it's in my nerd fan opinion, it's not between a rock and a hard place, right. But it's fucking good. Like, there's a lot of joints on there.
I tell people all the time. We wasn't trying to beat that record at all. Like, the vibe of that record, the feeling of that record, we can't ever do again. This is our first time working with T-Ray, first time working with Buck. You can't create the same magic twice. What we did want to do was create something totally different from the first record, but go somewhere that we know we could go even if we was to do a third album.
Mm-hmm.
So we was thinking futuristic when we did the second album. So that's where Sean Jay came in at. You know, even working with a different template than we did, say, with T-Ray, and with Buck, and even with Redman doing a track on his first album, it was more grimy. Where with Sean, with VIC, Beatminers, Rhino, these records became polished.
And they were brighter.
Yes, because we knew we was not in 94 no more. We going into 95, 96, where now you thinking about like records that came out after our record or at the same time, whether if it was Eric Sermon, whether if it was Gangstar, everybody's still making records. Nas, even P-Rock and CL Smooth with Main Ingredient. So all these records, even those records, so you even think about Beat Nuts albums with got cleaner and cleaner.
Yeah.
As the technology changed, as the beat machines changed.
People knew how to use samplers better.
Exactly. Like where Sean, we was working with Duro, my man Duro, the engineer at the time. That was his first album worked on far as mixing.
That's them?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So if you ask
that life? You have that trivia?
You call the engineer, the Grammy winning engineer.
Yeah.
What was his first placement? He gonna tell you Artifact.
Wow, that's them.
So, but when you listen to the record, and when you put it on, and you listen on the headphones, it was like him and Sean was, them songs they did was like on the board together, doing the drops, doing all this. I mean, like I would just sit there and watch them. And the first engineer we had on the first album, Rich July, he told me back in the day, brother, sit at the board. Even though you rhyme, sit at the board. Understand what's happening because. This knob might do this. Boom, look, you hear that? And then he'll turn it back and like, oh, I did hear it. But it's just the little small things you gotta, even if, he didn't know if I was gonna become a producer later on in my career, but he just said, if you happen to want to, pay attention to this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So with that and knowing the producers that we was listening to for, say, Cellar Dwellers, when you look at Nick Wiz production, you look at Lars Pro production at the time, and even with his own solo records, the LP, you know, all the, from his first beats to that record, he got better. And so that's what we were trying to do. And even if it was a little bit ahead of our time, I would say, because I personally, the nerd in me, knowing what was happening, I would say
this
Raucous,
is a better
Raucous Sound was where that came from.
So I don't know if you've heard this song from That's Them. This is probably my favorite song on the album.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And look, a lot of people like this song. A lot of people. B.I.C.
And it, yeah, it's just a little more musical, a little brighter.
Look at the mystics, be mystic. You ask, who is it? Doing it with the next type of text running through it. The bullshit, I mean, rap style clean. While Alima 6 foot frame tames the other being. Seeing that niggas whack, time to take it back to basics. Like Zaccone sneakers or a pair of A6. Don't hate this.
Finally, the sensei verse
first. Go first, right?
Battle technician, who be on a mission now? Listen, same one got more grip than Gore-Tex. I'm coming through your set like CBS, writing my name up in your projects. Who on the test me when I'm sested, pushing the paragraph like it's Alexis. I come off hot like Texas. My West District predicts that I'm the shit, so I walk through the bricks and shoot the gift like it's a full fifth. I bring the ruckus filling dutches with dust. I spread love like Take Six until the whole split bust. We wish to diminish some C4.
That's right, no hook.
Tame had a very good knack for starting verses. He had that Fife Dog thing of like when he jumped in a verse, his voice cut through really quickly.
And a lot of times I used to go first a lot, but when the thing with me and Tame was we wanted that, how you say, Run DMC effect of the back and forth of the jumping in. It's like double dutch.
Yeah.
A lot of rhyming is like that. It's like double dutch because you don't know. The other dude jump out, you got to jump in. And a lot of time when you don't know how to do that shit, especially as a dude, you mess up when you go in. But if you know how to do it, it's like one, hit the tempo, and go. So a lot of times when me and Tame MC things was when you were still rhyming and a dude coming after you. And some people might say, oh, you cut him off. No. It's supposed to be like
MC-wise,
it's supposed to happen. Because I'm coming in. A lot of times, that's how Wu-Tang. I would say this, for my favorite tandem to do stuff like that is Styles P and Jadakiss.
These
dudes finish each other's lines. Yeah. I mean, like, they have songs where it's just one line. I'm like, wow, I told Tank.
Yeah.
And another thing like that, a song, Nas and AZ called Serious. That song, if you never heard that song before.
I never heard it.
Bring that song.
What's it from? Is it an AZ record?
Yeah, I think so.
It's so crazy what you said about your sound being what the Raucous era starts.
Hey, listen,
You encompassed it so well. Like, I never even.
When you listen to our second album. You listen to those tracks.
All
Sean J.
them
did.
Indie records that came out on Rock.
After that,
because
look,
sound,
Sean J.
Yeah.
And because Sean J. after that, he did those records. OGC, Smith & Wesson.
Yep.
Helter Skelter. All you worked with him after
mm-hmm.
we did. I said, Sean, you know you're going to get some work after this because this is
AZ featuring
clean.
Nas. Serious.
Yes, that record right there, bro. Tan told me, he said, we ever going to do that? When I played this for him, I said, that's me and you. We needed to redo a record like that.
All right, hold on. Let me get through this Domino's ad. And now we are in business.
There we go.
Yeah. This record right here. Wow.
Time to see your bros on a permanent vacation, though. Check my track, Becky. Respect is my black Lexus. Expect me to act reckless. I'm rich and I'm ass necking. On me, quit half leppin'. My drinks in my glass seppin'. I'm rolling, I had breakfast. But stroll through my last message like, niggas can't be serious. Well, never that Libby shit. I'm mysterious. Move mystique on them. The doses increase on them. You ghost if you sleep on them. No joke on my peak. Storming them cars, they coming heavy. The guard of the Serengeti. I charge with a large machete and cause your starving belly like, you should have known I was serious. Still the prettiest, point blank, period.
Feeding wild alligators on swamps, got miles and acres, no pump. Whether it's freestyle or written down on paper, so far I've been down for maybe a decade. I'm still the rawest, plus weight and Farragamas, custom made jerry's on us. Garments, fly apartments, they bugging, say Nostradamus. This wasn't one of my hardest, so over a mill regardless. Chill with them hard looks, I spark clips. If you blood a Muslim, 5 or 6, got a crip, got a crip.
Man,
okay. Yo, I never heard this in my life.
I think I might have heard it once, but it is fire.
I'm dapper, but love the nonsense. The rapping and love my conscience. I'm strapped when I come to concerts. Attack with 100 monsters. In black and they run the bonkers. Back and we come.
This is like they're like working out. Like they're like going in.
Yes. Ball heavy.
So when did you first meet Redman?
I met Red, I want to say, what were you, 80-something? Maybe.
At Thanksgiving dinner.
No, nah, it's like
Tame's house.
I met Red. It was a crazy situation. I knew this female that I used to go out with, and she had a new boyfriend. She saw me one day, and the new boyfriend saw her talking to me. Just so happened, this dude is friends with Red. Somehow or another, this guy was trying to plot to jump me at this club, at this party. I tell everybody in the party, after it's over, he's outside. And it's about 20 of them. And I come outside, and then the whole party comes outside. And we all looking at them across the street, and they left. A week later, I get on the bus. I'm coming from Montclair State College. And I'm looking at this dude on the back of the bus. I'm like, yo, he looks very familiar. Oh, wow, he was with them. That's Reggie. So I said this to him. I was like, yo, he's looking at me. We both got headphones on. And I'm going like this at him, and he looked. I was like, yo, you remember me? He's like, yo, you the dude, Vanessa, I remember last week. He's like, the party, you came outside. The whole damn club came outside. I said, yeah, so he remembered. But I went to, we were talking the whole trip till we both got off the bus. He didn't live too far from me. And I went
Did
to his
you
crib.
Know he was Tame's cousin at the time? Oh, sorry.
I'm about to relay some things.
If you're just listening,
shut the fuck up.
No. If you're just listening, not watching, he gave me the Newark hand to the face.
He said, "Hold on,
shut the fuck up."
I'm about to lay something heavy for a lot of people that may right. not know this.
Okay,
I might upset a lot of people too.
Okay,
so I met him. We went to his crib, and he's got turntables in there and everything. So I'm like, okay, DJ. So I told him my rhyme. He starts DJing. He's playing Latifah Dance for me. And he's nice, super nice on the turntable, getting busy. I'm like, damn. Then he picks up the mic and started rhyming. I was like, what are you DJing for? No DJing. You got to rap, bro. So I was like, and look, I want y'all to hear me. And look, he said, I said, I got somebody you should meet. Week later, I bring him and Tame together. And from there, three of us just started making tapes. So I'm saying stuff without having trying to say nothing. I see your face. All I would have to probably do is put two pictures together and you go from there.
Because I thought that they were...
I know what you're thinking.
But they're not.
I know what you're thinking.
Right.
So like we have street cousins, street brothers. That's my cousin such and such. So this is what it is.
Street cousins.
Right.
So not cousin.
No. I'm not dropping bombs today.
That's a bomb. Like,
no, it's
a bomb.
It's very, it's important. It's history.
It's important.
It's real.
But I have to make history real as well.
Right.
So a lot of people that know him and a lot of people that know Tame and know them, you know, that know things will probably be like, well. So yeah. So I met Red first. But once, because I saw how he, who he was, and because I knew Tame, I knew that connection was going to be way more.
And it was.
It was quick.
Exactly.
Like you knew it would be their connection.
Yeah.
You were, you were meant to be a
conduit,
a conduit
right,
for them.
Right, right. So, you know, a lot of things happened in our past where things that might have been didn't become. So if anybody watched the YouTube video of Tame's funeral, if you watched the whole thing, Redman disclosed something that a lot of people didn't know. So back in the day, because Red and Tame was hung together, EPMD wanted to sign Tame by himself because they didn't know about me.
Mm-hmm.
I found out about it. I said, Tame, look, if that's what you want to do, so be it. He said, no, we're going to stay together. Just let's do what we was doing. A week later, Red came back to him. But, yo, they serious. They want to sign you. Tame was like, nah. And again, I told him, like, yo, do that. If it's going to, no, I'm not doing that. We're going to stay. So I said to him, "If because you made that decision, I won't let you regret that at all, ever. And we only just turned out to be artifacts. 20-something, 8 years later, we, you know, this group. So, you know, a lot of things people don't know about, but a lot of people do, you know. So isn't, you know, for a lot of people, they try to put, always try to put that connection together, you know what I'm saying? Like, how is that possible when, you know, but our connections in the Jersey streets run deep, same way as Redman's run deep. And if you notice, he's no different than me and Tame. He's a very accessible dude, very approachable.
He really is.
He don't take himself seriously when it comes to being an artist. And that's the one thing I would say I love about him that he didn't change was that about himself. This dude has been the same since I met him and has shouted.
Not like a city councilman do-it-all. He's now Hollywood, the politicians.
Even Councilman Kelly. Listen, this is like
hilarious.
That is just so the dopest thing. Cause dude, he's bro, about that life, man.
A member of a hip hop group, now a city councilman, because he always cared about Newark so much.
Yes.
When I knew him back in the day, like, he always talked about all the stuff he was trying to do in Newark, and now he actually, like,
is really doing it.
Elected.
And he got some
goons. I know some of the goons around him.
Yeah.
He got goons around him.
Real
bro.
Goons. How you say? Permittable goons. Well, you know, it's
legal goons?
I mean, yeah.
They're legal now, but they were.
You're saying formidable goons.
Yes.
Former goons. Yeah.
And former and formidable.
Can bring out the goonish.
Word up.
Hey, guys, anyone out there listening to this, One App is Life. You need to go stream or buy or any version that you want to do to listen to this Artifacts Buck Wild, no expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
Also, where can everyone get the fire Artifacts merch from?
Okay, so anybody that follows me, I'm going to tell y'all now, it's not about a Shopify or no website thing. You know, you can follow me on Instagram, EL_DA_Sensei. My other page was hacked.
Mm.
So the Sensei from NJ page, that's dead. EL_DA_Sensei. You can follow me there. You can, I always put up what the merch, what I have available as far as anything merch wise. You can just DM me and follow me, and we'll go from there. I do have a merch page. It's in the bio if you want to search that. But you're going to find out. You're not going to be able to just push buttons and order stuff because it'll always send you to my email because I don't know what you're doing, and I ain't going to have y'all just ordering stuff that I don't have. So I'll let you know what I do have. And I had to put that in red, big, big red letters. So you follow me on Instagram, you will always be able to get merch. And some of y'all who's not on Instagram, you're going to have to get an account to follow me to be able to see.
Yo, this selection of the hats, like, if I was to tell you to focus on anything, these Scullies with the logo are fantastic.
Look, I'm going
to
take care of you.
No, please. I just want to spread the word of them. L, thank you, man.
No, hey, thank you for having me. And you know, I saw the interview with Jamar, and when I saw you reached out to me, I won't lie, my phone was so blown up. I had never had so many text messages. I was still, just recently went back deeper and I still saw more. So anybody that ever hit me up at that time, I apologize. But I thanked everybody for hitting me up. I appreciated you for doing that. But I want y'all to know I'm good. The Artifacts record is out. this album is out. 10 songs produced by Buck Wild. Mm. There's a lot of things that's going to happen from this record. I'm still shooting 2 videos from this album, and we're going to be very creative with it. I'm going to let y'all know if there's going to be any places we're going to be doing it at for y'all. If y'all want to show up and do cameos, so I have a spot that everybody can be able to come to just to show your face, boom, boom, and leave. But that's the one thing I'm going to say I need from the people right now in the underground world is when it's time for these things to happen, we're going to have a remix album for that joint right there. We're going to have 3 singles that's going to be out, pressed up 7 inches with 3 joints from that album.
So all right, so
I know I got to hurry up, but there's y'all.
No, but so the support, though, is about supporting this project.
Exactly.
Right here.
That's the last record that me and Tame ever produced album-wise. There'll be not another one, but you're going to hear joints in the future.
Elda Sensei. Newark's finest. Thank you, man. Thank
I feel
you
so
man.
Bad because I said I didn't want you on the show.
That's not true.
Nah, thank you so much, man. The hip hop history, the gems.
No doubt.
Thanks for
giving
me the soundtrack of my youth.
And, yeah, seriously.
Oh, man. Wanep, baby, is life.
Wanep is life. Thank you, Al.
Peace.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.